Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Asian Madness Podcast, a podcast where we discuss all things true crime, morbid, mysterious, and odd from the Asian continent. I am your host, Jessica. Welcome back to the Asian Madness Podcast, friends. Happy New Year! I can't see you all physically, but hopefully everyone's staying safe, being nice to others, drinking lots of water, and eating their vegetables. So one reason why I like saying all that is because it's a good reminder to myself as well. I tend to be very impatient, and I honestly hate vegetables and fruits, so this kind of forces me to do what I tell you guys so I don't come off as too big of a hypocrite. Anyway, today's case is a listener suggestion, so please forgive me for not naming names, as it was quite a few of you. Remember, I always welcome case suggestions via email. It's the best way for me to filter and find subjects. And 100% not through DMs on Twitter and Instagram. Those are very hard to keep track of, so if you want a case covered or on my radar, please send it to my email. This case is a little different from my usual cases, as in there is no murder and no death. But just because no one dies brutally doesn't mean it's not important to talk about, and it also doesn't mean it's not a crime. If anything, being a victim of a crime like this can be just as bad, as victims need to live with this for the rest of their lives, and not to mention all the trauma they'll need to manage. We live in the age of internet, the age of so much convenience. So many things are just a single tap away. Shopping, bookings, food order, connecting with friends. But is it always used for a good cause? Is it always safe? I've received countless scammy messages telling me that something is wrong with my bank account or my Amazon account. Click on this link to verify your details. I was once so careless, I basically handed out my credit card information and got scammed for $5,000. I know, it's embarrassing, but whatever. Lesson learned. Also, the transaction didn't actually go through because I caught it pretty quickly. If you're not careful, you might just fall for these internet scams. But while these are annoying, they don't seem very life-threatening. However, there are various internet scams and crimes that can really destroy someone's life and someone's mental health. This is a terrifying case of the Nth Room from South Korea, a criminal case that involves blackmail, sexual extortion, and cybersex trafficking of young women. Some who are even underage. Let's begin. When we think of slavery, we usually think of people being physically taken against their will and are then forced to do whatever their quote-unquote masters tell them to do. While slavery is mostly illegal and less heard of nowadays, there is this thing called sex slavery, which is unfortunately still alive and well within our world. Sex slavery probably makes you think of grabbing an individual and forcing them to work as a sex slave or sex worker. But seeing how people are more aware and careful nowadays, how would this even come about? What about during times of widespread technology? Would that change anything? And how does it even happen in a developed country where such things are illegal and very much uncommon? Because slavery is illegal and uncommon, most of us don't really worry about becoming slaves. But as time progresses, humans adapt and conquer, sometimes in good ways, and sometimes in bad ways. Honestly, this case was a bit hard to research because so many things were happening at the same time. It's quite difficult to make it coherent, but I'll try my best. This whole situation started sometime in the year 2018, where an online user by the nickname of GodGod started setting up various chat rooms on a social media messaging app called Telegram. I don't know if many people are familiar with this app, but it's pretty much like WhatsApp, and it is supposed to be secure and encrypted. You can use it to make calls, send photos, videos, and messages. Basically, just your regular everyday messaging app. So what's so interesting about this random person setting up chat rooms? Well, they were used in terrible ways. This guy had one objective in mind, and that was to gain access to multiple women's personal information. Not to scam them for money, but to use their information against them. And then get them to obey to his demands. Or as he calls it, become his slaves. He didn't make money from this, which pretty much points to his motive as just enjoying playing the role of God. So how does this work? GodGod and others like him, as you'll hear later on, would send phishing links to multiple women under various false pretenses. He would pretty much target younger women or underage girls, because to be fair, the younger you are, the more gullible and trusting you are. Same goes for men, of course. Here are a few examples of how GodGod would do his scams. In one example, he would send Twitter DMs to random girls telling them they're beautiful and that he worked as a model recruiter. I don't want you to take this in a wrong way, but it is very common for young girls to want this kind of approval from others. South Korea's beauty standards are quite toxic and ridiculous. Everyone looks up to these K-pop stars, and everyone wants to be beautiful, pale, and extremely thin. Getting a compliment like this out of nowhere can really blur a young person's judgment. These girls would usually be very excited, and then GodGod would send them links for them to apply, also ordering them to join Telegram and add him on it. In another example, these scammers would send phishing links to young women, telling them that they found their nudes online and that they were concerned for them. Many people, including older ones like me probably, would panic for a hard second and instinctively click on the link without much thinking. Because that sounds urgent, it seems terrible, and God forbid you have these terrible images online. And once you click on these links, all your personal information on your phone would then be accessible to these scummy people. In the case of the fake model recruiter, he would ask the girls to send him photos of their IDs to prove their status, and also some selfies to show him more natural photos. This seems quite harmless, right? How many of us have our faces on the internet? I'd say close to 100%. Then the requests get even more and more risky. Can you show a full body picture? I need to see more to determine if you're really suitable for this. Can you take a picture in just your underwear and bra? If you don't want to, I understand. But then this is where we part ways. Maybe some of you are thinking, I would never fall for that. And yeah, this is hindsight though. If you're not an 18-year-old girl, then you might not really understand how this can affect you. At this point, several girls have fallen for the scheme and are extremely trusting. This is where the tide turns. GodGod would then get mean, telling them that now he has all their personal information and personal photos. He can do whatever he wants with it. Don't believe him? He will send you pictures you forgot even existed. Most girls would, of course, plead with him to not do this, which then leads to the key phrase, "Please don't. I'll do anything." Anything? Okay. What's your address? What's your bank account? Send me more photos. Hold up a hand sign to show me this is you and in real time. Prove it to me. You see how this works? How crazy it is to suddenly fall into this trap without a good way to get out of it? Some of you might think, well, naked photos of me aren't going to break the internet, and I have body parts like all other people. I can kind of live with that. But maybe not if you're young, brought up in a rather conservative culture, and your self-worth is heavily reliant on the approval of others. God's methods proved to be very successful, because in no time, he had collected photos of numerous young women and girls, along with their personal information. God created a total of 8 chat rooms, and because these room numbers just kept going up, it was collectively referred to as the nth room, as in multiple rooms. Many men would start joining these chat rooms, and it was completely free. Once you joined, you would be able to gain access to all these photos and personal information of these victims. The kind of things said in these chat rooms are disgusting, as you can imagine, ranging from how young they like them, and by young I mean underage, to criticizing women's bodies, to making threats about going to their homes to kidnap and rape them. On the topic of rape, some would continue on by detailing how they'll do it, that they want to go first, and other really gross comments. In general, I see this maybe as trash talk, but seriously, words can't be harmful, and if you're able to type or say these things out, it just shows me what kind of person you really are underneath. God enjoyed having this kind of power, and he not only blackmailed these women into sending more and more provocative photos and videos, he also ordered them to do weird things like go to the bathroom and lick the floor, all the while filming it for proof. If you refused, he would then threaten to send your photos to everyone you know, send some of his guys or quote-unquote watchmen to your home and assault you. It was even reported that a few girls have been raped by these men. Quote, a girl who appeared to be in middle school was trapped inside what looked like a motel. Adult men entered the room and raped her. The video was shared live. The viewers in the chat room said things like, this is how real grooming is done, unquote. Very gross. At times like these, what can you do except obey and follow through? It's like a bottomless pit, or a vicious cycle. The deeper you go, the more he has on you, and the less hope you have of crawling out of it. He loved the power and knowing that he had control of so many slaves. So, if you thought one guy like this was terrible enough, wait till you hear about all the other copycat chat rooms that started because of him. An important copycat to note was a guy named Baksa, aka the doctor, as in the PhD kind, not the medical kind. One thing to remember is that the girls who have fallen for this and are victims in this circle are probably not going around telling other people about this. It's embarrassing and shameful. Imagine all the unsolicited advice you would get from people, all the disapproving looks, all the excessive judgment, and probably getting called a whore. So since it's quite likely no one spoke out about their circumstances, it also kind of gave more power to guys similar to God to start doing this. If word isn't getting around, then there's no way to warn other potential victims. Maybe you're like me and you have a busy day-to-day life, whether it's working in a demanding job, raising kids, or you might just have a lot of hobbies that basically leave you with no time to do other things, like, you know, cooking and shopping for food. I know I've said this before, but I have to reiterate, I hate thinking about cooking and, of course, cooking itself. Eating out daily, though, is not an option because who has money for that? That's where a reliable service like HelloFresh comes in. By ordering HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. No more unnecessary trips to the grocery store. Just rely on HelloFresh to make home cooking easier, more enjoyable, and of course, more affordable. There's a reason why they're crowned as America's number one meal kit. It's January, and we know people love making New Year resolutions. HelloFresh can help you achieve those goals, whether it's to save money, eat healthier, or, you know, cook a little more than you're used to. The most important thing to me is that the recipes do not take a long time. I'm lazy, but I also want to be a functioning adult. These HelloFresh recipes can be ready within 15 minutes, and you don't have to compromise on taste and portion. Like I mentioned, they pre-portion everything for you, so you won't have to deal with annoying leftovers or eat the same thing multiple days a week. Some of their quick and easy recipes include falafel super bowls, seared steak and potatoes, and Southwest pork and bean burritos. Truly a diverse menu. I personally am not picky when it comes to food, so time is always a determining factor for me. I pick the quickest and easiest recipes. And of course, if you love cooking and challenges, there is definitely something for you overachievers as well. Go to HelloFresh.com/Asian21 and use code Asian21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/Asian21, code Asian21 for 21 free meals. So order now from America's number one meal kit if you want to make some positive changes to 2023, because I sure am ready for some kind of change. As a modern day person living a busy life, I bet most of us have one thing in common. We constantly worry about money. And if you're in the United States, you have the added layer of worrying about your credit score. So what can we do? Check our bank accounts incessantly like our lives depend on it? Or just leave it in the hands of whatever God you believe in? There is another way, actually. Chime is a financial technology company that can help you manage whatever money you have and also help you build your credit score over time. They report your payments to credit bureaus, and they have reportedly helped their members increase about 30 points on average, which is definitely a good amount. They don't charge annual fees, no need for large security deposits, and for someone who was just starting out, they don't require credit checks to apply. So start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up only takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/Asian. That's chime.com/Asian. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank, North America, pursuant to a license from Visa USA Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact of score may vary, and some users' scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs in a 7-Eleven or any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. So the vicious cycle continued on. Baksa showed up around mid-2019, about a year after GodGod. And his methods were more or less similar to GodGod's, except for one thing. He required people to pay a hefty membership fee via a cryptocurrency called Bestcoin in order to join his chat rooms. Some sources say that the most expensive membership was around $1,200. I don't get why people would want to pay to join when GodGod and probably others out there are doing it for free. But then again, why would anyone want to take part in such depravity? Also, there's a lot of free porn online, but I guess Pornhub might even be too tame for these creeps. Being on the internet makes people feel anonymous, and thus brave and invincible. Like, you can't physically hurt me. So I do what I want and say what I want. People say and do horrible things they would never do in person. I wonder if it's ever crossed their minds that if people like GodGod and Baksa can blackmail girls like this, can't they just turn around and blackmail their users? Question of the day. But I guess some people's depravity knows no bounds and lack critical thinking. Baksa would also watermark all the videos and photos he distributed, I guess as a way to establish his quote-unquote brand and presence. As more and more of these chat rooms became rampant, word eventually started getting around, but not from the victims. Users would talk about it sometimes in real life, and I believe many people probably perceived it as a form of urban legend. Like, did you hear about all those chat rooms on Telegram where they blackmail girls and women to do terrible things? Nah, sounds fake. How would that even happen? Fake news. Except, some people wanted to dig deeper into this. It was said that a few men who were part of these chat rooms found them to be quite disturbing, and they even went to the police to report it. Clearly, this was useless because the police didn't do anything about it. Maybe it's because they're set in their old ways, or they found this to be unlikely. Or maybe they figured, kids will be kids, lol. So they didn't really do anything about it. What really led to this case being in the spotlight came from hard-working journalists. A journalist named Kim Won got a tip from his boss about Telegram chat rooms posting sexual content of young girls. Kim knew that child pornography had always been a serious issue, but he had no idea just how bad it would be. He did his work, looked into it, but little did he know that he would become the next target. Upon publishing his article, Kim expected people to be outraged. He expected this to start trending, but for whatever reason, the public barely reacted. On the other hand, though, he did get a response from the perpetrators. He received an anonymous message telling him that he was being targeted by the chat rooms on Telegram. If you're being targeted, of course you would want to know more, like, what the hell is going on? So he managed to find his way into said chat rooms, and to his horror, all his personal details had been posted there, including his address, his family members' names, including his kids, and even pictures of his family. People threatened to hunt him down and even kill him for exposing these chat rooms, and although he was afraid and worried, he continued on his journey, hoping to bring this to light and have more people aware of what is going on, with the help of other journalists like Oh Yeon-seol and other media channels like SBS and two university students codenamed Team Flame. This case managed to get more and more attention. The police unit for cybercrime eventually realized the magnitude of the situation and also joined in. Of course, it wasn't easy. Many of the journalists and the two college students had to go undercover and infiltrate the world of involuntary and child pornography. And for us regular people who do not agree with blackmail and child porn, it takes a huge toll. It was hard getting information, trying to track down perpetrators, all the while trying to stay sane and safe. They did eventually get a break when a guy named Joker showed up, providing them insider information on Baksa, or the doctor's room. A lot of the information was eventually used to put together as a segment that media channel SBS wanted to air. But before that could happen, the person in charge, Jung Jae-won, received a threat from the doctor. If he were to air this, he would be putting more lives in danger, specifically a young woman, as she would be ordered to jump off the SBS building. That was alarming. And knowing how these guys operated, it wasn't really an empty threat. Clearly, people like the doctor and God didn't give a damn about the well-being of others. Jung was very torn about this. On one hand, I understand valuing the threat and the life of a young woman. But on the other hand, if you stop now, doesn't that mean that the bad guys got what they wanted? And where do you go from there? Long story short, the segment was aired anyways, and thank goodness, no woman jumped from the SBS building. This was a very bold move indeed, because Korea is still pretty conservative, and many times the interests of the criminals get chosen over the general public and victims. That's not to say that Jung made this choice easily, because he did feel a lot of guilt. But like I said, no woman died because of his choice. Do you think he made the right move, though, at the time? Would you have done the same, even if it meant getting a woman killed indirectly? As more and more media outlets and newspapers began exposing these chat rooms, the more and more panicked the perpetrators became. Not just the main leaders. Those that joined and enjoyed the content were also starting to worry about getting discovered. Baksa was being looked into heavily, and for whatever reason, he was actively corresponding with various journalists, but giving them false and conflicting information, probably hoping to stay anonymous and also enjoy feeling smarter. He told someone he lived in Cambodia, and told another he was living in China. Eventually, they figured out that he was, in fact, most likely a tech-savvy Korean man living in Korea. The police used all the limited information available to try and track him down, including tracing his cryptocurrency exchanges, and even tracking down one of his victims. This eventually led them to the discovery of another person, nicknamed Buddha. This person was not really a major player, but kind of like Baksa's trustworthy errand boy. The police began surveilling Buddha, and realized that he was the one in charge of making sure the money got to Baksa. The entire tailing process was crazy. The money would get dropped off at one location. Person A would pick it up, take the train, hand it over to person B, then person B would meet person C somewhere else, and so on and so forth. Clearly, Baksa had this thing all planned out, because he was afraid of getting exposed. If you're worried, maybe just don't do this? The money trail finally ended in Incheon, where police found Baksa's location. The police waited for Baksa to be outside to arrest him, fearing Baksa would have the opportunity to delete things or destroy his computer if he was at home. At around 5 p.m. on March 16 of 2020, just as COVID was making headlines around the world, the 24-year-old man would be arrested and later identified as Cho Jun-bin. Obviously, it does not end here. So let's get back to the OG, God God, for a bit. Before Baksa, or Cho's, arrest, and after the media started reporting on these chat rooms, one of God God's chat room users' real identity was discovered, and once that happened, God God himself probably began to worry as well. He decided around September of 2019 that it was time for him to retire, and before leaving the chat rooms, he told everyone that since he was still a high school student, he needed to stop doing this and focus on his schoolwork. Clearly, that was just a lie, probably trying to confuse people of his real identity. Everyone thought he had left for good, but he suddenly reappeared after Baksa publicly stated that God God's content was trash. Typical internet forum trash talkers. God God began communicating with the police and journalists, probably thinking he was outsmarting everyone, when in fact, cybercrime units and white hackers were working hard on tracking his IP addresses. Long story short, he was also arrested eventually in May of 2020, a few months after Baksa was identified and arrested. Several other people in connection to Baksa and God God were also arrested, including the 38-year-old watchman surnamed John and God God's successor, a man surnamed Shin. It's important to add that police initially weren't sure about revealing the identities of these men, maybe because they didn't want to complicate things or have people try to attack them. The public, of course, disagreed and signed petitions to reveal all their identities. These people did the crime, and it's time to face the consequences of their own action. Who are these guys and what happened to them? Let's start with Baksa. His real name is Cho Jun-bin, and he was born in October of 1995. It sucks because he's so young, and with the kind of technology he has, he probably could have done so much good in his life. Anyway, he was a regular dude for the most part. He went to school, got excellent grades, did volunteer work, and even joined good cause campaigns while in university. But that's only on the surface. Turns out, he had a mild bit of criminal history involving phone scams. Well, now we see where he got the idea from. It took a while for him to go to trial and get a sentencing, but in October of 2021, he was sentenced to 40 years in prison. If he doesn't get released before that, he would be 64 when he gets to go free. Or he might die in prison. Who knows? He did complain that 40 years is too long and tried to plead for a lighter sentence. The audacity. Cho did do his robotic round of apologies in front of the media, apologizing to his victims and also thanking the police for catching him, because the devil inside him wouldn't have stopped otherwise. That sounds a bit like H.H. Holmes. Now let's talk about God God. His real name is Moon Hyung-wook, and he was also a man in his mid-20s. I don't have much info on his background, but that's okay. Sources stated that he was a university student, and it's baffling how he had the time and energy for this crap. But I guess it was his passion project, and he wanted to excel in it. Moon was eventually sentenced to 34 years in prison. Not sure why he got fewer years than Cho, but that's not a bad start, I guess. He also did his obligatory round of apologies in front of the press. But to be honest, no one really thinks Cho nor Moon are really remorseful. As Rihanna would say, "I know you're only sorry you got caught." Moving on. Aside from the more important dudes in these chat rooms, several thousand others were arrested in connection to this case, on charges like child pornography, distributing illegal content, etc. More than 200 or so ended up receiving some form of prison sentence, varying from a few months to a few years. It's very complicated when most of the crime took place online. It's not as black and white as it is with murder or physical assault. Tons of people got away scot-free because there were thousands upon thousands of users. Tracking them down one by one would take so much time, and it's very likely many of them have ways to mask their IP addresses. Hopefully they'll be looking over their shoulders for the rest of their lives and sweating profusely every time they come across a police officer. Not sure if this is considered surprising or not, but the average age of the users in the chat rooms consuming this content is only 21. Both Cho and Moon stated that they had participation from Korean celebrities and athletes, as in those being forced to participate, aka the victims, and also voluntary participants, aka the creeps. This is not proven to be true, so it's just a rumor. But again, wouldn't be shocking. Celebrities are humans as well, and they come in all forms. Let's talk about the victims now because, of course, we have to. In total, there were said to be hundreds of victims in the span of those 2 years, many of them underage. You already know the kind of crap that went down these chat rooms. They were forced to perform sexual acts, self-mutilation, gang rape, you name it. Understandably, many of them developed some form of trauma in response to the whole situation. Some reportedly said how they were scared to leave the house and were scared to show any bit of skin. Some were also worried about being watched or followed, wondering if chat room users would track them down and retaliate. As this case developed more positively, various victims began to show up, willing to talk to the police and the press about their experience. I'm sure many would rather not, because it's a lot to process. To their surprise, though, most people showed love and support to the victims, telling them they are survivors and that they stand by them 100%. One good thing about the government is that these victims were given help with changing their names and were also entitled to financial, psychological, and legal support. This is not something you just bounce back from, and a lot of help is required. Due to this insane case, the South Korean National Assembly ended up passing multiple laws and amendments to help prevent more crimes like these from happening. These included lengthier prison sentence for sex crimes, and also including those who possess, purchase, or consume illegally filmed sexual content. Those who use such contents to blackmail can also face prison time. Unfortunately, though, not everyone was very supportive of the victims. This clown of a congressman, Jung Jong-sik, stated that these viewers, quote, "enjoyed these videos alone for self-satisfaction. So are we going to punish them for that?" Unquote. Yes, we are. Then this clown of an attorney general, Kim Oh-soo, went on to victim blame the girls, basically implying that they were dumb and attention whores. Quote, "It's normal for teens to fool around on the computer." Unquote. I'm confident that these are not the only people out there who prefer to blame the victims and think this is a case of boys will be boys and girls will be sluts. Because incels are everywhere, and I think in many Asian cultures, these women-blaming ways of thinking is still quite prevalent. The whole, why did you send a picture? Why did you do this or that? Or the classic question of, but what were you wearing? So there you have it. The incredibly strange, gross, and disturbing case of modern sexual slavery known as the Nth Room from K-pop land. I told my husband, who happens to be Korean-American, that I was going to research this case, and he had the audacity to tell me that he had not heard of this. I forced him to look into it, and of course, he was horrified. As some of you may know, there's a Netflix documentary on this case called Cyber Hell, and definitely look into it if you're looking for more interactive retelling of this case. I cannot imagine getting caught in a situation like this. I feel like the word traumatic doesn't even begin to cover it. I really hope all the victims are getting all the help and support they need. If they never want to touch a mobile phone again or go online ever again in their lives, I would totally understand. This case also makes you wonder how many more others are operating in a similar manner, but just have not been found out yet. I bet there are a lot more out there, and some may be even worse than this. Everyone, please be safe. Lift up those young people around you. Please warn them of the dangers of the internet, and not to be so trusting online. I know they might think you're just an old person who doesn't know anything about the internet, but it doesn't hurt to try. They may be annoying, but they'll understand later on. I don't mean just girls, because boys are also very likely to get caught in such situations. Hopefully this case was presented in a rather respectful manner, because I desperately hope the victims find peace and are able to move on from this incident and live their lives. Thank you all for tuning in. Till next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Asian Madness podcast. If you enjoyed my content, please rate and review me on iTunes. If you would like to get in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or email me at asianmadnesspod@gmail.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.